changing seasons and changing feathers. We're talking hawk to a dove. Welcome. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Got a busy hour. We're glad you're here right at the top. We're going to talk about challenges for business owners and entrepreneurs and a great match with Annex Private Client. Ask Annex is on the way. Toward the end of the show, the psychology of spending in retirement. You've worked, you've planned, you've got a plan from Annex Wealth Management, but you have trouble spending money. That's okay. We'll help you through that. That's on the way. I'm Danny Clayton. Dr. Brian Jacobson is our chief economist. Welcome.
It's great to be here.
Dave Spano, president and CEO, Annex Wealth Management.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. Of course, Brian, you like to talk about the birds of the economy. We used to talk about hawks and doves and chickens,
yes.
Right? And of course, this week we had the report from the Federal Reserve, and Chairman Powell did have a little bit of dovishness in him. And we saw the dot plots as well. The rest of the governors talk about what their expectations are from 3 expectation rate cuts this year back down to 2 between the two. So we'll have to see really where we go for the rest of the year.
It'll be fascinating to see exactly how the data begin to play out, because Chair Powell effectively said ignore January and February.
We had the two inflation reports.
Yeah, the two inflation reports we had there, slightly hotter. He, during the press conference, basically said that's probably due to some weird stuff with the seasonal adjustments that they have to do. And he still is confident, but not confident enough to really start cutting later this year. The part that really, I think, highlighted that he is getting more dovish, so letting that inner dove show, is that during the press conference, he said that if there's some labor market weakness, they could actually cut a little bit more. And I thought that was interesting, because ever since they started hiking back in March 2022, it's been inflation, inflation, inflation. And now he's basically saying, you know, if there's some labor market weakness, we could actually respond to that as well.
And so we're going to talk about what those cuts are going to look like. And then the expectation is now June. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see what the data looks like over the next number of months. But if we get those, again, that is before the election, and that's the expectation as well. So we'll have to watch that in June. But what's interesting as well is 2 to 3 rate cuts in 2024 is the expectation, and another 2 to 3 in 2025. So rates look like they're going to head down over the next year and a half or so.
Yeah, almost at a glacial pace. In the past, they have hiked rather slowly, held for a little bit, and then cut aggressively. And now they're trying to flip the script. They've gotten through the period of time of hiking aggressively, and they're actually in the second longest period of this pause, right, as far as holding rates where they are. And they're hoping that they can actually have that gradual reduction in rates. So it'd be the exact opposite of everything they've done in the past.
So that's the glacial example I like, because there was a glacial raise in rates, right? A number of 5.5% raise over 18 months. The longest pause we've seen, and perhaps on the cutting schedule that could be longer as well. So I do find that interesting. They're indicating what it's going to look like over the next year and a half. What is also interesting is what the central banks around the world are thinking as well. There could be a worldwide coordinated cuts. Yep. And I'm talking about the Bank of England, I'm talking about the ECB. They might cut as well, and they're going to do that for a number of reasons, protecting their currency being one of those.
That's correct, yeah. Whenever you look at what the central banks are doing, it most immediately shows up in the foreign exchange market as far as the value of the dollar relative to the pound or vice versa. And what we had this past week, the Bank of England, they effectively said they think they can cut in June. European Central Bank basically has June penciled in as that first rate cut. Federal Reserve, June. The one outlier, well, there's actually two. I would say the Swiss National Bank, they already cut this past week. They are the first developed market central bank to actually start cutting, and their currency paid the price. It depreciated. Now, then on the flip side, you have the Bank of Japan. They actually abandoned their negative interest rate policy by hiking their overnight rate from minus 0.1% to basically 0 to 0.1%.
But that's the first move in 17 years.
That's right. Yes, that's the first time that they've hiked in 17 years. So just imagine that.
And so you think about why they're doing that as well. Not only are they trying to spur on the economy because we could see a slowing, but as importantly, and I think we want to talk about this, is what could happen to the U.S. dollar.
That's right. And our expectation is that the Fed is likely going to meet expectations. So if there's a June cut, they move 25 basis points, so that 0.25 percentage points at every other meeting. Maybe it's every meeting. We have to see what the pace is actually going to be. That could lead to weakening of the dollar, but only slightly, because if everybody is cutting at the same time and at the same pace, you actually don't see a huge change with the currencies. There is a slight possibility here that the United States could cut a little bit faster, and that would actually lead to a slightly weaker dollar, which could be good for exports, manufacturing, maybe small, mid-sized businesses.
Right. And I think our listeners might think that this is all good news, but we're looking at it because it's a dual-edged sword. When you start to get rate cuts, there's two things that happen. First of all, savers do get hurt because right now they're getting 5% or so. Mm. You can walk into the bank and get that. But more importantly, you look at why they're lowering rates and how the economy is going to react to that.
That's right. Yeah. As far as the initial reaction to household finances from higher interest rates was they actually benefited in the sense that the interest income was more than the interest expenses. Now, that's beginning to change a little bit. But when we get to the point where suddenly they start cutting rates, those interest income that you're getting from the money markets and other bonds is likely to fall. And that has an income effect. Now, the key thing, as you point out, is why are they cutting? Because you can look at, say, the 2007 experience, 2006 to 7, a long period with a pause, they started cutting. They were actually somewhat late to the game in recognizing the problems with the global financial crisis. They were cutting because they had to. It was in crisis mode. Now, if they start cutting, it's more that they are cutting because they can, not because they have to.
And as the snow begins to melt in the north and the seasonal travelers start to leave the south, a lot of things are going to happen, and that means the second quarter's earnings season is coming upon us. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute.
That is our Week in Review, always available on demand at the top of the hour. Wherever you get your podcasts, also get it in the Axiom newsletter. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, Saturday, March 23rd. Still to come, business owners, entrepreneurs, and Annex private client. A great match. Thanks for listening. We're going to be right back on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Annex Wealth Management YouTube channel packed with great educational videos available to anybody. If you like the channel, make sure you subscribe so you always get the fresh content. Fresh content like The Psychology of Spending in Retirement. You'll hear that segment a little later. You want to see it on the YouTube channel. You can do that yet today. Downsizing or Aging in Place, brand new video. Also, part-time retirement, really, really popular. More and more people want to kind of ease into retirement, and we can help them. Dr. Brian Jacobson in the studio. He's our chief economist at Annex Wealth Management. Dave Spano is president and CEO.
Yeah, Brian, still not only our chief economist, but still teaching classes, Marquette University. And one of the things that I was thinking about as earnings season begins is you grade every quarter, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so every quarter you have to come up, they have to come up and give a report. But that's not much different than what happens with the S&P 500 companies who have to put out these quarterly reports. And we listen to them very carefully because not only what did they do, but as importantly, what do we expect? That's where I'm going with this. Our expectations for next quarter are going to be a pretty low bar.
It will be. And I think that's actually a great reminder for investors is this is a quarterly sequence. We do get these regular updates from the companies, but there's also things that happen during the quarter. Sometimes they'll come out with announcements if there's anything unusual or exciting. And it will be a fairly low bar for companies to clear as we get into earnings season, especially we think in more the smaller cap and mid-cap space. People have tended to kind of overlook that. Everybody's very much focused on that new shiny object of artificial intelligence. They keep knocking it out of the park, which is kind of interesting. But there's some strength, we believe, building in the smaller mid-cap industrials area, more cyclical parts that people have been kind of leaving for dead.
And by the way, when they do miss, and you see that with these yoga pants that I have on, which are very tight. No, that's I'm just joking. But of course, Lululemon came out and reported, and they missed. And of course, then the market reacts to that very violently. And that's what we're looking at. Not only what did they report, but what are their expectations? And we're paying a close attention to, are these companies talking about a slowdown or a recession? That's still a conversation that is in our highlight.
That's right, because it's not just about what have they done lately, but what's likely to come. And that's where that forward guidance is incredibly important and probably more powerful than how they actually did just for that previous quarter.
And it not only, folks, is it just individual equities that some people have, but this goes to mutual funds as well that most people have in their 401k plans and their exchange-traded funds and the like. So this does matter. And, of course, interest rates moving affect not only equities but bonds as well. That's why the entire picture has to be looked at, not only what you have in an investment house, but perhaps what you have away from them in your financial plan and your retirement plan.
With a lot of mutual funds, ETFs, a lot of people just view those as investments, but view them more as a collection of investments. You have individual equities. That's all a mutual fund is a collection of a lot of individual equities or individual fixed income. It is important to look across all of those, do that x-ray, which is something that we do on our investment team for client portfolios. Because if you have some energy exposure and say high yield bonds, do you also have it in your equities? Do you want to double up on that?
Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management, hangs out for the rest of the show. Dave Spano, President and CEO. I'm trying to get that vision of you in yoga pants out of my brain. You know, Annex Private Client is built to assist business owners, entrepreneurs, anyone with complex needs that require razor-sharp teams. Find out more next. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Brandon Lehman is director of Annex Private Client. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Danny.
I'm not sure how you do it. Annex Private Client, busy place. You're also a small business owner yourself. In fact, not one, but two enterprises. And that puts you in the entrepreneur category and the perfect guy to talk to about the challenges and expectations of business owners and entrepreneurs.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges.
Yeah. Partnering with the right financial advisor is key, and it's got potential to alter the economic trajectory for business owners and entrepreneurs. Important word, trajectory. Brandon, I like the optimism that these individuals have.
Well, I mean, one thing as an entrepreneur, you have to be optimistic, right? Because the other side of that is potential failure. You, one, have a ton of optimism and faith in yourself. You know, there's a stat out there, 81.7% of business owners think they'll exceed their previous growth, and 86.4% of them believe they'll significantly exceed personal wealth and growth in the future. It's the American dream. And why I say that is because you have to be that driven individual to do it. So you're driven, you're focused, and you're going to make it succeed no matter the cost within reason.
Not a surprise, business owners, entrepreneurs, they need more than the typical wealth management service experience. And that's Annex Private Client.
It is. When you look at it, there's a big fear of missing out, right? These folks tend to be, depending on what their line of work is, at the cutting edge of their field or are developing and growing and finding ways to make it better. They feel like they can't afford to miss out. And a lot of them aren't sure if they're actually getting that expertise in their current spot. That's when they'll approach us and be like, hey, you know, I've worked with X, done a good job, but what am I missing? And that's where, as an Annex Private Client team, we come in and say, well, you know, there's a lot more to it than just investing. And it seems to be the investment focus. It's like, whoa, whoa, there's a lot. And investment's important. It's actually the most emotional thing that I see on that side of the planning. But there's a lot more to it than just investment.
One that I keep running across is tax drag. It's got to be an even larger issue for entrepreneurs and business owners.
Definitely is, because there's so many moving parts when you start looking at, is the business an LLC, a sub S, and C Corp? How is it set up? There are multiple enterprises, because as they get to a certain stage, and I see this a lot, where they're going to have a company that owns the building, then a company that owns the operating entity, and all these different things. So they're getting hit from all different sides on taxes. And unfortunately, there's quite a large number, well over 58%, that say they want the tax advice, and they're just not getting it. Now, it is important that when we look at Annex Private Client, how do we function? Well, yes, we have some incredibly good tax experts on our staff, but we partner with your CPA to make sure that they're seeing stuff from the personal side, not just the business side. And then we're getting information on the corporate side that can help on the personal side as well. That's what's so important, is delivering to try and reduce that tax drag, i.e. how much extra you have to pay to the IRS.
It's interesting that you mentioned personal. There is the personal side. There is the business side. And with that personal side comes an importance of estate planning.
Estate planning is one of those things that, unfortunately, I feel like we see a lot that gets put on the back burner. And it shouldn't. As an individual who lost a parent at an incredibly young age, estate planning is key and always top of mind. But business owners, right, they are so good at what they do and so focused on their business. And they forget to take the time, because they need their business to be successful, to go and actually do this planning. And that's where when you start partnering with Annex and Annex Private Client, we're going to push politely that we got to get this done. And why do we have to get it done? Because unfortunately, we're going to tell you stories about people who didn't and how important it is that we need to get this taken care of. A lot of folks actually, I think the statistic is only 21.9% actually receive advice on strategies and succession planning. And that's what we need to help them with. And that's what Annex Private Client can do with the amazing team that we have.
And they built this business, this entity. There's always a question, oh, now what am I going to do with it when I'm done?
That is always the question. And there are so many answers. And we don't have enough time today to go through all the lists. But, you know, is it pass it to the next generation if the generation is involved? Is it sell it outright? Is it an installment sale? Is it get sucked up into a larger corporation? All these different things. But right now, they're so focused on the here and now that they forget to look forward. But what they forget to look forward at as well is their personal side. They get focused on the business, but don't forget yourself and your family and your goals and the philanthropic opportunities and the legacy. The key is the legacy you want to create with this business and what does it mean to you? And that's where, again, Annex Private Client is going to come in and sit down and say, these are the things we want you to think about. Don't give up on the business. Don't forget about the business, but let us think about this and kind of say, hey, talk about it, think about it. Let's do this. Have your business advisors, so you know the CPAs, the attorneys on the business side, we all come together, let us coordinate those teams and help you only have to worry about one thing, and that's successfully transitioning to whichever path you choose in the future.
And you are describing what Annex Private Client does.
It is exactly what we do. Our job is to come in and sit side by side with you on your side of the table. As again, a fee-only fiduciary, we work in your best interest and we want to sit down and help guide you through this process. We are going to want to talk to your other partners, but we're not here to replace them. We want a partner so you have a phenomenal team, because the key to success for you as a business owner and any transition succession plan is a strong team.
Brandon Lehman, Director of Annex Private Client, thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
Quick reminder, Women in Wealth Conversation Cafe happens Tuesday, 5 o'clock at our headquarters, shattering the myth of the glass ceiling. What are the real challenges facing women in the workforce with Leah Vukmir? Details, annexwealth.com. Look for the events tab. Bottom of the hour, let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center. We're back. Time for Ask Annex in the studio. Matt Morsey, Investment Team Manager, CFP. Welcome.
Hey, Danny.
We got Fred Coleman, CFP and a Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management. Welcome back.
Thank you, Danny.
This is Ask Annex. Mailbag always wide open. Don't have to be a client. Just head to our website, annexwealth.com. Look for the Ask tab. Question number one. I follow, he says the name, of an author who paints a grim picture of future markets. My wife says I'm paying too much attention to a doomer. Does he have credibility? So many people who are kind of follow stuff like this would probably know who this guy is. We won't say his name.
Yeah, yeah.
Rhymes with a motorcycle.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And to his credit, in my opinion, he wrote one of the best personal finance books of all time. But, you know, when you listen to these types of people that get on, a lot of times you got to really pay attention to the facts, not get caught up in the emotional side, because a lot of times what these people say is based on emotions, or it could just be based on to get ratings or to sell their book. When we pay attention to facts, we want to look at things like GDP, the labor market, industrial production, all those types of things. Because anytime you hear these people predicting, you can go back and look at pretty much any year. Just type it into Google or type it into YouTube and say financial crash of blank year. And you'll see a lot of different people pop up with different predictions. And if you look hard enough, you'll find something, even in the best years. So I say focus on the things that you can control, consistent investing, minimizing taxes, and just having a plan for anything that happens, that you'll be successful regardless of what the market does.
Yeah, I think you're hitting some really good points there. And for people like him and a lot of others who seem almost like that's their income, or that's what their job is to get those headlines and try to get people to do something. So looking at what are their potential motives of what they're saying, are they driving you to do something very specific? And is that something that they could profit off of, is one thing to look at. Track record is really important to look at. I bet if you Google this person's name or any other that are very similar to that, you can find numerous times over the last 5, 10 plus years that they're saying the exact same thing, that they just get louder and louder over time with it. This is one of the negative things when it comes to social media and so much information out there, is it's so easy to attract a following, and people do have a tendency to want to hear negative things or follow negative things than positive. So it's really easy for them to do that. But going back and seeing when they've said this in huge bull markets where the market kept going, what they're saying does not come true is one thing to take a look at. You know, going back to your thoughts on having having a plan. That's really the most important thing here, is knowing what your risk tolerance is, what are you saving, investing for, and being very consistent in that. And if you do get to a spot where, hey, you know, I am getting really nervous for whatever reason that might be, maybe it's people you're following, maybe it's because of things that are happening in the market, but paying attention to how you feel through some of those situations is really important to what should you do now. Now, if the markets are at an all-time high or really close to it, but you know in the past that you do tend to get negative when they do start to fall, well, maybe you are taking too much risk. And at a time of strength, when the market's high, is a good time to scale back some of the risk you're taking within the portfolio. Likewise, the market does fall, which no matter how much it falls, these people generally try to take credit for that market fall, even if it's 5%, they could say they called it. You know, when you see that volatility, maybe that's a time that if you're like, hey, you know what, I can handle these 5, 10, 20 plus percent drops. It's just part of what we do. Maybe I could actually take on a little bit more risk, but do it at times of strength, not out of fear.
Second question on Ask Annex. My 401k return is lower than most market indexes by several percentage points. Am I in the wrong investments, or should I not expect to match what I see on CNBC?
Yeah, it's a good question, one that comes to us a lot. You know, frankly, from my point of view, you probably should stop watching CNBC from a standpoint of trying to compare yourself against it. That's not what it's there for. It's there to educate. But again, it also is, you know, news. They're trying to attract viewers, and they're going to get people by, you know, things are going really well or things are going bad. They're going to get people that are going to follow certain things. But in terms of the indexes that they use on CNBC or any other one of these, you know, cable news outlets, you know, they're very specific to a certain thing. So S&P 500 is U.S. only companies, generally the 500 largest, that meet certain profitability metrics. It is one specific index that tracks large and mid-cap U.S. stocks. What it's not capturing is international companies, small-cap companies. It's not capturing fixed income. There's a lot of the market that's out there that it's not covering. So when you're watching for things like that, whether it's S&P or NASDAQ, things that are, especially if they're doing really, really well, you probably are going to be trailing them, and for good reasons. You really want to have a diversified portfolio that's going to match up with your risk tolerance, and that's going to incorporate things that are not in those indices and also things that might not be doing as well. For instance, the U.S. has been outperforming, so it's going to beat international stocks for the most part. Same with large cap has been beating small cap, so you're probably not matching up to that. But as that markets pull back and small caps do better or international does better, you might actually be beating the indices at that point in time because of diversification.
Yeah, and what I see a lot of times when clients bring me their 401k statement is this, they're comparing two different things. And I think you were alluding to this a little bit. You can't compare a Hyundai to a Ferrari. Maybe you need to drive a little bit slower, but the market, you know, that may be a Ferrari. So making sure that you're comparing the right things, apples to apples comparison. And then also, I know you only have a set group of investments to look at, but it's important to have your advisor look at that and pick the best investments out of that group. And that's something we do here at Annex.
Fred Coleman, CFP, Wealth Manager, Annex Wealth Management on Ask Annex. Thanks.
Thank you.
And we got Matt Morsey, Investment Team Manager, CFP as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management with Deanne Phillips, Director of Client Learning and Development, CFP, Wealth Manager at Annex Wealth Management. Hello.
Hello, Danny.
You know, it's drilled into our heads. You do the right thing. You put away, you save money while you're working. You don't touch it. You keep building it. And it's hard to argue because that's an excellent way to build a solid nest egg to draw upon when retirement happens. But what happens when our human nature creeps in? After all, there's a psychology behind spending in retirement, and that's what we're going to talk about with Deanne. You have an additional title. ABFP. What's that?
It's an accredited behavioral finance professional. So basically, Danny, this is a unique designation program that enhances financial planning advice through a thorough understanding of the psychological theories of behavioral finance. It basically helps one understand what drives the markets and investors' motivations and thus their decision-making behaviors.
So you're the right person for this conversation. Okay, right or wrong, Deanne? We should save and invest as we go along until every day becomes a Saturday. That's the right thing.
Yes, and most people feel they're doing the right thing. They put money away in their retirement plans, plus savings. Maybe they put in a 529 for tuition. The point is they're saving money while they're working. And they're told, don't touch the money you put aside. Just keep building and investing that big old stockpile. And when the excitement of retirement's upon them and that dust settles, they realize they need to replace their work paycheck.
once retired, some struggle with spending. So decades they've been seeing paychecks, and then they're turning into the ones who are issuing the paycheck to themselves. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of an awakening. Does that mess with our heads?
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting, Danny, because again, they're used to socking away for other things. Like while they're working, they'll put money away to buy a car or again, the college tuition. And they know when it's time for the money, they pull it out of the plan and it seems natural. However, for some reason, they get into a headspace and psychology of thinking when they retire, well, I'm not working anymore, so I can't let my retirement kitty go down at all because I'd have to go back to work. Well, this is obviously actually false. That stockpile is supposed to fund our retirement. But there are all these unknowns that play into our fears, like, well, how long will I live? Could I outlive my money? How much will I need if healthcare keeps going up? I want to have enough to do all the fun things, right? And here's where if someone doesn't have a financial plan, if they haven't gone through the exercise of putting everything together and seeing how it all fits, their assets, their income sources, their expenses, and you build inflation and capital growth assumptions, and you stress test it for bad markets and or maybe a heavy financial need from time to time. If they haven't gone through that exercise, Danny, it can lead to a lot of stress.
Even people with substantial assets, do you find that they get nervous about running out of money?
Oh, sure, because they go from hearing, don't you touch that stockpile, to go ahead, take distributions, spend it. And they automatically jump to the fear of running out of money. Now, what are they not taking into consideration? And this is very human. There's still growth happening on their assets. They're not taking the entire thing and putting it to cash and putting it under a mattress, right? They've got the power of compound interest working over decades. And sometimes, usually for women, this comes into play. Bag lady syndrome happens. That's no matter how much you have a fear of outlasting your assets and being a burden to our family.
And we've got the tools to help. One is the, at least I think, the inelegantly titled bucket strategy. You called them tranches once, and I thought that was much fancier.
Yeah, right. So our brains actually naturally bucket items. It helps us compartmentalize. So we do think in terms of expenses in two different tranches or buckets. The first bucket, your expenses that you have to have basically to keep your life running. So that would be, you know, your rent, your mortgage, utilities, basic food in the fridge, gas in the car, your maintenance expenses. That second bucket is your discretionary bucket. I like to call this I want to have bucket, right? So this might contain travel, extra entertainment, above and beyond expenditures, sporting season tickets, country club membership, the things that really make life fun. And these two buckets are both equally important. However, if you think about it, the first bucket we really don't have much control over. We have to pay our utility bills no matter what and no matter which way the markets go every month. The second bucket, however, we can expand and contract as we wish. It's discretionary. We're able to control it. That psychologically gives us more freedom, especially in the early part of retirement and at really important times. You know, if we retire into a down market, for example, look what happened in March of 2020. People retiring during COVID, right? In the lockdown, the market went down sharply. That planning in different buckets is what really helps keep newly retired people in times like that from saying, oh, gee, great, now I have to go out and get another job or I'll have to work and not retire.
So in our last 30 seconds or so, I got to ask, should we feel guilty in the first part of retirement if we spend more? And please tell me no.
Not at all. Just be cognizant of it. People will usually spend more in their first year or so. And in fact, in the first decade of retirement, they spend more. That's their go-go years. In their slow-go years and no-go years, decades two and three of retirement, they usually spend less on entertainment and more on healthcare, or maybe on the grandkids. Think about it. You have more time to spend eating, drinking, being merry after you retire because you aren't working. And that involves friends, family, and travel. So follow your values. Just be aware of your spend.
Right there. It's about planning. Deanne Phillips, Director of Client Learning and Development, CFP, CDFA at Annex Wealth Management, and an accredited behavioral finance professional. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. You know, we understand we're living in a time of on-demand content. We're always on the radio on the weekend, no matter where you are. We're also streaming audio via this station's website. You can also find the show as a podcast at the top of the hour on just about every streaming platform. I'm Danny Clayton, Dr. Brian Jacobson. In the studio with us, Dave Spanos, our president and CEO, Annex Wealth Management.
Yeah, thanks, Danny. You know, Brian, I was watching the Chairman Powell report this week, and something struck me. And it seems to me that he may be fighting a war with a slingshot. And what I mean by that is there is a $77 trillion argument that he is missing. And what I'm talking about, folks, is that is the amount of wealth that is held by the ages of 70 or older in this country. The baby boomers are sitting on a lot of money, and they're spending it. And higher interest rates by a quarter of a point may not change that behavior.
Well, that's very true. In fact, if you have the higher rates, they get more interest income, and it can help fuel more spending by those individuals. Now, you start cutting rates, and you're going to be taking some of that income away. So there is indeed that income and what sometimes economists call this wealth effect from interest rates. And I don't think that the Fed has historically really updated their models to account for some of these behavioral changes and the wealth distribution as well. If you think about the housing market, right, they hike rates, suddenly people are locked into their homes, and that created basically a lack of supply of homes. And so it pushed up property values. Property values move up higher. It has a wealth effect. People spend more. So sometimes what the Fed thinks that they're going to accomplish with their tools is the exact opposite of what actually does end up happening.
And you think about the baby boomers right now, most of them own their homes, or even if they do, they have small mortgages, you know, with low interest rates. They're not motivated one way or another by that. But you think about ages 65 and older in this country, 18% of the folks in this country are of that age group right now. That's the highest on record, and they represent nearly a quarter of all of the spending. So you think about where we're going with this, you know, their lifestyles are more active. You think about pickleball that's happening everywhere. You think about that this generation is living longer. They're healthier and they're financially healthier.
Yes.
And so higher interest rates means they're not going to run out of money. Higher interest rates means it's not going to probably determine their outcome that much. In consumer debt, they have very little of it. So, and by the way, they got an 8.7% increase in their Social Security spending last year. Put that fuel on the fire.
That's right. And actually, that showed up in the data pretty quickly as far as that Social Security cost of living adjustment, where it translated into a rather significant and outsized increase in consumer spending. So they are willing and able to spend it. I think an interesting thing is that over the last, oh, say 15 years, I've been hearing about how baby boomers are going to be retiring and it'll create this
10,000 a day. That's still happening.
10,000 a day. It's incredible. It's something that everybody saw coming, and a lot of people were afraid that these are people who are going to be spending down their savings and that they're going to somehow affect market prices. It happens very gradually, but actually, as they become financially better off, they can actually invest more in things like equities, because they start thinking about, it's not just about me spending down my pot here until I get to zero. It's about, what about the next generations, right? The legacy that they're going to leave. And so what we've been seeing is that a lot of people actually have the means and the ability to invest a little bit more aggressively than perhaps the stereotype around people. If you're collecting a pension or Social Security, you tend to be very conservative. That's not necessarily the case.
And Danny, you'll remember, we used to talk about the belly of the snake, right? It used to be the, you know, all of the diapers and the diapers and the baby food,
right?
And then it was houses and other things. And now, of course, it's retirement spending. And so that's going to continue to happen, because age 59 is the youngest of the baby boomers right now. That is just moving into this generation.
I'm just blown away by that fact that there's 10,000 people
a day in
that
this
are
country.
Retiring. We'll take half of them, folks. We've got capacity.
Exactly. So, folks, that's the reason why we think about these things, and they're big moves. And of course, we talk about, as Brian just said, what's in your portfolio. It's so important, because if you think about demographic shifts, what's going to do better going forward? You have to know what you own and why you own it. And folks, every day we look at pricing and what people are paying for it. So go through this exercise that we talk about. It's called a wealth metric. It's just like, by the way, it's just like a financial checkup. And you can get that done by going to annexwealth.com.
Dr. Brian Jacobson, Chief Economist, Annex Wealth Management. Thanks.
Thank you.
Dave Spano, President and CEO. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You know, I was raised on to-do lists. They work for me. Maybe they work for you. How about putting contact Annex Wealth Management on your weekend to-do list? Check that bad boy off this weekend and let's take it from there. See you next Saturday at 10. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.